Mr. President and members of the Senate, Mr. Speaker and members of the House of Assembly, I would have liked to bring you some great news, some glad tidings which would set your world to rights. Alas, this is not the case. The world is in turmoil, restless, and uncertain. On this occasion, among the nations of the world, I am reminded of the terrible tragedy that has befallen Greece, and mindful perhaps of the connection between the Greek civilization and our tiny nation. 8 years ago, Greece celebrated the triumph of the 28th Olympiad. Now, it has found itself mired in debt and austerity and must walk a fiscal tightrope with an uncertain net below. There are many tragic stories which have come to us from the Greeks, stories of states which were once great. Plato, for example, tells us of Atlantis, a civilization advanced for its time, which suffered calamitous failure, while Homer in his Iliad recounts the demise of Troy. I refer to this only to emphasize that we cannot allow the Helen of the West, as we proclaim ourselves to be, to become a tragedy like Helen of Troy. We must ensure that our journey through these times and the decades yet to come maintains a humble but resolute desire for peace and success. Let our story be a story of hope and courage despite all the troubles of our difficult past. Let not the poet write about us in depressed and diminished words. Let not our story be sung in a sad and mournful key. Though we may not have the recollection of stories told thousands of times for a thousand years in a thousand towns, as some nations do, though we may not have the vastness of financial wealth that others possess, we have and can champion within ourselves a uniqueness, a genius, a pride that far overshadows our currently humble means. Let our history be written by none other than ourselves, St. Lucian. This is the task, the mission at hand. Fellow St. Lucians, as you must already know, these are troubling times for us and for the world. The global economy is in turmoil. However, while we can take some comfort in our general circumstances, spared as we are from war and disease and famine, we cannot afford to slumber into oblivion. We cannot afford to see our many achievements as a people undermined by our own complacency, nor by the kind of selfishness that abandons the weak, the vulnerable, the less fortunate. We cannot continue to think of individual progress as something good without also considering the good which we must each bring about for the country as a whole, so that all who live, work, and enjoy life here must feel themselves engaged in that same great enterprise, which is the advancement of this country and its people. This is a time when we must call on our reserves of energy, determination, and perseverance. It is a time to pull together, to move St. Lucia forward, and in so doing, reshape, if not the present, then the future which we intend to live in. This is the task of nation building which we must do for ourselves. So this is our rock, and upon this rock we must build our house of faith. Faith in ourselves, in our country, in God, and in our destiny as a caring, enlightening, and enterprising people. While there are those here and abroad who would help us in this great task, for the most part, we as St. Lucians must do this for each other and for ourselves. We cannot await nor take for granted anymore the customary help even of our traditional friends and neighbors. They are grappling with their own economic challenges, which are deep, pervasive, and prolonged. Our friends in Europe are hampered by prolonged stagnation, with the Eurozone expected to enter into mild recession, returning only to modest growth in the second half of 2012. And even this tentative outlook is clouded by ongoing uncertainty, concerns about high sovereign debt, and depressed demand. This outlook will continue for as long as the sluggish global economy weakens demand for European exports, keeping business and consumer confidence at low levels, despite some stabilization observed in the financial sector. In the United States of America, the threat of another recession is retreating slowly, but signs of economic recovery in North America are highly dependent upon the European scenario, where major policy adjustments are yet to be effected. Meanwhile, in Asia, growth prospects are also hampered by weak global demand and could be wiped out by any further rises in oil prices or disruptions in the supply. Consequently, for the time being, and sadly, for the foreseeable future, we are largely on our own, and as a nation must rely on ourselves and on each other if we are to prosper. This lesson we already know. This lesson we have already lived. This lesson we have already mastered. And now we must make it the central pillar of our daily philosophy. The St. Lucian people are no strangers to hardship. We do not run from adversity. We know the value of perseverance and the strength of unity. We understand the concept of community. Even if we sometimes temporarily lose sight of these fundamental tenets of our collective upbringing, we have demonstrated time and time again that in our darkest hour, we are capable of great resolve, great acts of humanity, heroism, courage, and kindness. These times demand that we remember. Remember a day when money and opportunity did not divide us, but gave us reason to come together, to collaborate, knowing that even one of us, even if one of us succeeded to the summit, it will be a triumph for the family, the community, the nation. We need to remember and rediscover these qualities within ourselves and each other, and know that together we can join in the common enterprise, which is the salvation and success of Fehelem. For too long, so many of us have been content to feel that the job of shaping the nation's future is the responsibility of government alone. For too long, so many of us have felt that we have a right to stand by and wait for the fruit of good fortune to fall from the tree which has been planted by the sweat of others. For too long, we have stood by, expecting someone else to solve the problems which we ourselves have created and chosen to live with, keeping our skills and our talents to ourselves, counting our pennies and our problems, pretending that we are not also responsible for building this island of ours into a better place. Fellow solutions, this pretense works only in the mind. So it is there that we must start our transformation. The time has come to revisit all these assumptions. This country needs each and every citizen to be concerned, to be motivated beyond individual self-interest, to be energized by the prospect of a better way for all. We must not be afraid to let our good example shine. We must let our good intentions, our good deeds, inspire others, especially our children who need nurture beyond material things. We have to give them confidence, our attention, our time, our knowledge of the right road to travel, the straight and narrow of hard work and discipline, respect and determination. We have to feed them with love and enlightenment so that they can address each other and disagree when necessary without anger and violence. In Derek Walcott's award-winning work, Omeros, St. Lucia is equated to an island in the Greek archipelago, a land of simple but proud people, souls who live heroic lives in their own right. 2 decades on from his great personal achievement, the scenes and sights are not of theatrics alone, but can still be experienced on our journeys to the countryside, while we collect seashells on a sandy beach, hear the whispers of young children at the back of the class, or within the bustle of Castries Marketplace on Market Day, even now that it is a globally recognized shopping experience. We are a people with real character and natural warmth. We are bound together by many threads, threads which are strong, not so much individually, but when interwoven and finally knit. The year 2012, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, is an Olympic year. We are reminded of the Olympic Games held 8 years ago, at which St. Lucia proudly marched onward into a newly built stadium in the ancient city of Athens, the first among all the nations to do so. The fate of the Greek alphabet meant that we derived such a noteworthy position of honor. Undoubtedly, we were all proud of this distinction, however small was the team that paraded under our flag. As our illustrious Nobel laureates have demonstrated, there can be no doubt that smallness of body or of number need not govern greatness of soul, heart, and mind. Even the myths and records of present-day great nations were once tales told within small families in tiny hamlets in forgotten fishers' coves. We observe worldwide, today and throughout history, that the pursuit of democracy arises when people want to find common ground and balance. We see the Arab Spring still on, and we observe the pinnacle of our own democracy at work just a few months ago. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, democracy without equity is unsustainable. Like a raft heading towards the treacheries of a waterfall, the waters of discontent and disenchantment can speed up ever so calmly before it is too late to discern the dangers ahead. We have seen the sunrise of new states such as South Sudan, the sunset of old dictators and threats, the birth of new technologies, and the gaping rifts that have emerged in economic systems which some once thought were impregnable. Less than a decade ago, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, in my address to this Honorable Parliament, we shared a dream that we could craft a new map of our mental space, that our pathways could be lit up to see beyond the maze of geopolitics and internal barriers which prevented our togetherness. We saw ourselves walking hand in hand with our Caribbean brothers and sisters. Now, there are still many new hurdles to overcome in this new competitive worldwide stadium, but we might cause fewer hurdles on our track if we found that oneness we can create. Our desire to embrace our Caribbean archipelago continues in tangible ways. Many St. Lucian businesses have now expanded operations into other OECS countries, particularly St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Antigua and Barbuda, and in Grenada. Also, the first OECS parliamentary sitting will be held in June this year, marking a milestone in our common governance. Our common smallness and challenges augur well for our continued social and economic cohesion. My government will continue to pursue efforts that will bring us closer together as one Caribbean people. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, in the face of every challenge, there lies inside an even deeper positive possibility. A master plan for change means a redefinition of our multisectoral, our multidimensional spaces, and finding a new code for exciting our society's consciousness. We can only achieve this by finding our commonality and celebrating our identity. Like the Greeks, we must change our firmament to celebrate our own greats, to promote new constellations that acknowledge all our achievements. We must embrace the creative industries as a critical aspect of our development, both for economic good and for national pride. My government is actively seeking ways to unleash the creative power of our people in their ability to develop, to design, to express. Artists and creators must be assured that they are given a place of respect and consideration, not only through one ministry, but throughout the totality of government. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the baker cannot bake bread for himself alone, nor can the builder build homes for herself alone. finding a pathway for inclusive change that propels us forward while not jeopardizing our patrimony and our principles is no easy feat. But my government is committed to our success as a nation and calls on all Saint Lucians to commit the same. We must disown enmity and find peace in our common purpose. However, to upload these changes into our social, economic, and political DNA, our society must affirm a common desire to see a better Saint Lucia. It may seem popular in these times to see ourselves only through our sectoral and individual perspectives. However, staying in your section for but a little while longer does not protect your entire section from being enveloped by larger global forces. All sections of our socio-economic sphere will have to bind together to realize a competitive, feasible nation. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, my government is aware that individuals may feel overwhelmed at times to think of the implications of what change may bring, and many wonder whether they will cope. Some fear erosion of their lifestyle or the failure of their businesses. I want to assure them that they are not alone. Each one of us cannot do this on our own. Our challenges are not insurmountable if we move forward together. These life-changing steps we must not fear. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the desire for a better quality of life for all our citizens and residents demands that we find better ways to sustainable, equitable growth. The urgency of the time requires us to stiffen our sinews, stiffen our muscles, summon our courage to take action on our inherited problems. We have become notorious for dithering on decisions that are vital to our collective well-being. Let us consider for a moment our unwillingness, or our fear, perhaps, of tackling the myriad of problems which face us. For example, we failed to act on our water company, Wasco, so the company continues to languish and our water woes increase. We commenced the process to establish universal health care, and it has been left in abeyance. We all knew that the future of our banana industry was bleak, but we offered vain hope where pragmatism was what was needed. The result? Banana fields lie idle and abandoned, now ravaged by disease. Despite the several years at our disposal, we have not been able to select replacement crops. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, if we are to benefit or make use of the tepid recovery that is underway in the global economy, we need to position ourselves now by summoning the fortitude to resolve our long-standing problems. To survive in this new world, we may be required to revisit and redesign, or, if you prefer, refashion policies we once held sacred. Put differently, we may have to take decisions we never contemplated in the past. Of particular consideration this year is to ensure that my government finds efficient ways to make our taxation system fairer, with the burden shared more justly. Our modes of doing business, particularly with respect to public sector financing, have not kept up pace with the changes in global economic activity and rules. Furthermore, our economy itself has shifted away from taxation based primarily on incomes and the import of goods, and we find ourselves with but a small proportion of individuals and corporations actually paying anything at all on their incomes after deduction. We must now find a better way to ensure that the growing services components of our economy support our tax base, while in fact providing a better balance in the prices of goods consumed. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, my government is committed without reservation to fashioning better ways of protecting those with severe economic challenges. These changes to our tax system, though extensive, are not beyond our abilities as one people. The changes that are necessary to adjust to a new tax system will in fact make our productive sectors more professional, better managed, and more competitive. These changes must, of course, be balanced with safeguards for citizens to sustain a decent quality of life. But we must, however, work hard to agree on a common position. The reasons are compelling. The overall fiscal deficit widened to $254.4 million, equivalent to 7.6% of our gross domestic product in 2011-2012. This deficit is being financed entirely by borrowing from both domestic and external sources. This is unsustainable. Every single day, every single month that we delay in taking corrective measures to our economy brings us closer to the edge. This is a time to search for the common good. My government urges citizens to share their thoughts, their ideas, and solutions. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, depression fears expression. From Facebook to the farm, citizens have expressed opinions on the proposed value-added tax, and my government welcomes this broad dialogue. It recognizes its role in coalescing the national will in the face of all these fears. Though the storm of economic uncertainty still lingers globally, my government is keeping calm and will approach these changes with care, diligence, and certainty of purpose. We do not want to have a depressed nation. My government will not agree to any measure that would be too onerous, too burdensome, or unreasonable for our people. This is not a time to look inward only. This is not a time to be insular. This is not a time to be inactive. It is undoubtedly a time to collaborate, to seek cohesion, to seek a common good, a common will, a common strength, and a common purpose. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, Mwen te kaj avou dwe vini isi a jodi a pou pote bon nouvel, pou diw tout bagay an od, pou diw peyi a sene son. Me, malouesman, jes pa dwet. Tout oli won a fè, bagay an sireksyon. L'ekonomi an chay gwan peyi an fayit. sitwayen ka fe konba epi gouvernement yo an la wi peyi yo. Moun ka hele sou patou. Kanito avay. Pwi marchandiz ka mouti. Epi an menm tan, les orite ka mande pepla pou fe pli an pli sakrifye. Men, se fon nou pa dezespere. Se pa semplisi yon ki an situasyon sa la. Jit gwa peyi ki teni mwayen an tan pase, ase mwayen pou ede le zot peyi kon san nou an, katouve koyo an go difikulte atwelman. Nou pa sa depan asou yo kon avan pou longe la men ban nou. Lèj arrive pou nou ede kon nou. Pou kouye asou rezerv nou, asou fos nou, determinasyon nou, asou kreativite nou, la fwa nou, pou bati peyi nou ka kouye san nou. Se a travay ki ni pou fèt. Se a lison nou ja apwan depi lontan. Nou Saint-Lucien konnèt sa le di travay wè. Nou konnèt sa yo ka kouye san mayok. Nou konnèt mizè. Ou pe menm di nou ja gwaje mizè. Me, nou pate moun pou kite twa kasman defè nou, kwaze l'esprit nou, detwi jèvte nou. Men ou tan pale di koudme, ou kompwen ki sa sa vle diye. Sa, se te vweman karakter Saint-Lucien. Longe la men, ba yon alot. Sipote, yon alot. Kache defo, yon alot. Rosene, yon alot. Wejoui, an sikse, yon alot. Me, denyèman, Adan parmi nou pon l'abitid depan asou le zot pou tout sa yo bizwen. Asou gouvernement sitou, men osi asou l'eglize, asou voisinaj yo. Souvanman, se jousan la, Adan di nou vle labouzien sou fèt. Nou vle dubout, espere manje fwi travay epi la souè le zot, sans faire un chiffre pour un déconner. Yo prend l'habitude assise et puis attendre les autres pour trouver réponse pour problème yo créé yo même. Adam dit nous pas parler point responsabilité pour action nous même juger ouais on fait quoi yo pour un dé comme minio et ben ville yo et ben pays yo. Sa se de pa l'abitid se moun la ki bati peyi a nou konnet jodi a. Epi tout sikse a, epi tout bon renome a nou ka jwi a. Epi nou ka pran pou l'ajan kontan. Se pou nou vire, adopte se l'atitid sa la, si se pou nou wange situasyon peyi a ka touve koy an se tan difisil sa la. Se pou nou fey, pa selman pou kon nou menm, men pou seman bay la ki ka vini ya. Nou ni l'obligasyon pou indike yo, pou bien elive yo, pou moutwe yo vale travay, disipline, respect, epi determinasyon, pou moutwe yo manye pou aji epi yon alot, epi menm manye pou pa d'akor epi yon alot, san violans ni lawaj. Monsieur le Président, Monsieur le Speaker, Monsieur, Mesdames, gouvernement savent en chaque monde messieurs tous ces changements ça là qu'ils ont proposé. Tout ça qu'a accablé yo. Yo pas assuré qui manière ces démarches neuf là qui affecte yo, famille yo, business yo. Mais gouvernement a dit yo, ou pas besoin faire. Si nous tous mettons tête nous ensemble, nous tous qu'a joui ces bénéfices-là. Mais, c'est pour nous du bout de calendrier et puis prendre ces décisions qui sont nécessaires, même si elles sont difficiles. Mais nous aimons discuter. Bien des fois, progrès pour nous, c'est laver la main, tuer la tête. Mais nous tenions une décision pour prendre pour Wasco, par exemple. Nous parlions, et puis rien de fait. Nous commençons à travailler sur l'assurance santé, ça nous a créé Universal Healthcare, mais nous suspendons. Nous savons que l'industrie sigla est en trois cas, il était malade. Mais chaque fois, nous devons mettre en place ça à ce malin-là, plutôt nous devons chercher en voie guérison. Mais, Monsieur le Président, Monsieur le Speaker, Monsieur, Mesdames, nous ne pouvons pas continuer comme ça. Tôt ou tard, tu vas le payer à Kani pour changer pas. Pourquoi la route difficile? Si c'est pour ne pas ouvrir le bordage chimère et puis garder le succès et le développement partout. Avant et tôt tard, à nous souper le sommeil, sortir en vieux, à nous lever, à nous bailler quand nous gamme, à nous bailler quand nous déverse, à nous mettre tête nous, sagesse nous, courage nous, confiance nous, chair nous, l'esprit saint nous, tout corps et l'âme nous, ensemble, pour trouver ces solutions à nous niveau. Pour prendre ces démarches-là qui sont nécessaires, pour mener cette lucide devant. Pour prendre place là, il mérite, hein, parmi les autres pays la terre. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, my government plans to be exceedingly active on the legislative front in this session of Parliament. My government intends to take a more planned approach in defining its legislative agenda. In addition to routine legislative requirements, greater attention will be given by ministries to ensuring that our economic and social policies are supported by the requisite legislation and that this is given priority in the legislative agenda. Consequently, we can expect to see a robust legislative agenda addressing issues relating to economic development and tax reform, employment, health, crime and security, education, tourism, agriculture, alternative sources of energy, and a wide range of concerns relating to our women, children, young persons, and seniors. Earlier this year, my government announced that it would proceed with the implementation of value-added tax. As I explained earlier, we accept the necessity to reform the tax base in St. Lucia to ensure greater fairness and a more predictable revenue stream. Consistent with its declaration, my government will, early in this session of Parliament, introduce a value-added tax bill. Already, there has been much consultation on the policies that have informed the drafting of this bill. For some time now, we have also been streamlining the regulatory framework for our insurance sector in line with requirements for the harmonization of legislation to ensure a common regulatory space in the Caribbean. Therefore, my government plans to advance the work of previous parliaments and introduce an insurance bill for enactment. Legislation aimed at advancing the business environment will also include a trade export promotion agency bill and a competition law and policy bill. These bills, as indeed other proposed legislation, will require extensive discussions with stakeholders. It is important, particularly in this environment, to strengthen the regulative protection afforded our citizens, and Parliament shall be invited to enact the long-delayed Consumer Protection Bill. My government is anxious to improve the ease of doing business in our country. It is vital that we retain our competitive edge in the Commonwealth Caribbean and indeed among the developing nations of the world. We must arrest the slippage that has been occurring. In this session, my government, after consultation with the OACS Supreme Court, will introduce legislation to establish a commercial court with a separate and distinct jurisdiction to handle exclusively all matters pertaining to business and commerce. Reform of the health sector remains a priority for my government. We are on the cusp of dramatic changes in the health sector with the commissioning of two new hospitals, one of which, St. Jude, arose from the ashes of a disastrous fire that claimed the lives of loved ones. These two hospitals come on the heels of a modern psychiatric facility. What this means is that St. Lucia will now have the most modern health infrastructure in the Eastern Caribbean. But these buildings can become mere monuments if we do not change the management systems we have inherited and reproduce in them the old ways and habits of the past. We have a unique opportunity to change the way we do things at our public hospitals. My government has agreed to statutorize the new national hospital, and to that end, we'll introduce legislation in this parliamentary session to achieve this. My government will ensure that the existing rights of persons currently employed at Victoria Hospital will be fully protected in the transition to the new hospital. My government is anxious to advance the reform of family law. We had, for that purpose, reviewed a number of bills developed as part of the OACS family law project. Sadly, this was not carried forward. My government views this matter with some urgency and will bring before Parliament legislation aimed at providing more concrete arrangements for the protection of children against abuse and violence, and also provisions pertaining to child support. My government proposes to deal with the issue of domestic violence more decisively. Our legislative focus will also include other vulnerable groups such as persons suffering with HIV and AIDS and the elderly, reinforced by a climate of respect for human rights and dignity. My government came into office emphasizing the need to ensure that our citizens feel safe and secure at all times. Law and order was described as the first pillar of development by my government in its other life. This requires that we continue with the modernization of our police force. In that regard, we have initiated the process of reviewing our existing police act and intend to prepare a new police bill for consideration. It will be important to widen our consultation beyond the police and key stakeholders to include the public. In this parliamentary session, Parliament will also be invited to consider an electronic monitoring bill to monitor and track certain categories of individuals on bail and on parole. Anti-gang legislation will also be introduced to bring an end to the use of gangs as vehicles and facilitators of crime and criminal activity. We shall also tighten enforcement of our traffic laws and make our roads safer. Legislation will support the introduction of requisite tools to deal with speeding on our roads and the use of alcohol and other drugs by drivers. In securing our borders, my government will continue to implement the machine-readable passport system and will introduce legislative amendments to ensure the complete implementation of this initiative. If we are to have success fighting drug trafficking and corruption, we must ensure that we are able to confiscate the proceeds of criminal activity. Existing legislation will be strengthened in that regard. We acknowledge the transnational nature of this problem and the need to harmonize our efforts consistent with international standards and our international obligations. Consequently, my government plans to undertake substantive amendments to the Money Laundering Prevention Act, the Proceeds of Crime Act, the Anti-Terrorism Act, the Registered Agent and Trustee Licensing Act, and the Financial Services Regulatory Act. There is need for more careful regulation of non-governmental organizations with a view to ensuring that they are not used as conduits for terrorism financing or to launder the proceeds of criminal activity. We will introduce legislation to address these concerns. We are also considering the issue of civil forfeiture, mindful of the constitutional requirements and safeguards afforded to our citizens. The requirements for international cooperation and mutual assistance in criminal matters necessitates that we expand our adherence to certain treaties and other international agreements. As we do so, we will continue to urge the support of Parliament to enable the passage of legislation to give domestic effect to these agreements. In the area of tourism, a tourism operator's bill will be tabled to reinforce standards across the tourism sector. In relation to standards, my government welcomes the adoption of national standards such as the Code of Practice for Tour Guides and the Code of Practice for Inbound Tour Operators. Cognizant of the extraordinary measures which the industry had to adopt to survive, my government plans to amend the Tourism Incentives Act to consider granting every property which is currently the beneficiary of existing incentives, new incentives, as if they are commencing operation for the very first time. With respect to agriculture, new legislation will be introduced and some existing laws will be updated. Our first priority is the enactment of an agricultural incentive bill. This bill will, once and for all, clarify the range of incentives that will be available to the farming community and bring to an end the capricious approvals of incentives to the sector. This bill will be supported by a Sale of Agricultural Products Bill aimed at regulating and controlling the trade in agricultural products. To control the movement of animals into and out of St. Lucia, an Animal Health National and International Movement and Disease Prevention Bill will be introduced. A Veterinary Surgeon's Bill will also be tabled before Parliament, and legislation will be introduced to regulate certain matters consistent with St. Lucia's international obligations relating to plant protection, fisheries and pesticides and toxic chemicals. In order to continue to maximize benefits from the telecommunications sector, there is need to modernize and consolidate some of the existing legislation. Against this background, we will introduce an electronic communications bill. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the final group of proposed legal reforms relates to the public services, a matter that is at the heart of government. To be successful in these times, a government and the citizenry itself require an efficient, organized, and dedicated public service. My government, consistent with the requirements of our Constitution, will introduce a public service bill to modernize employment in the public service. My government has commenced the process of reviewing the Fire Service Act and will also bring to Parliament a new fire service bill. This will be complemented by a comprehensive fire code. Amendments to the Correctional Services Act will also be introduced to strengthen the environment within which this service discharges its mandate. By all accounts, this is an ambitious legislative agenda. My government cannot do it alone. All of this we must do, not alone anymore, but together. Monsieur President, Monsieur Speaker, gouvernement n'y a chai loi pour passer durant session parlementaire. Loi qui a guidé et puis réglé développement économique pays, par exemple, régime taxe pays, travail, santé, crime, sécurité, éducation, tourisme, agriculture, l'énergie, et puis loi qui a concerné femmes, mamans, jeunesse et puis grand monde. En ligne de business, le gouvernement a introduit taxe VAT là. Et excusez le mot anglais, nous avons trouvé un mot créole, Bali tout de suite. Pour régler la manière dont nous avons payé ça. Quand il y a actuellement, ce n'est pas une grande quantité de monde et mes business qui a payé taxe sur le salaire. Après le gouvernement, oui, mettre ça y a dépensé à tout bagaille comme assurance, l'intérêt à tout l'argent banque prêté pour acheter caillot, dépenses pour dépendants et puis bagaille comme ça. En chaque discussion, j'apprends coup à tous affaires VAT là. Et puis, c'est le résultat de cette discussion-là qui a décidé qui ça qui allait en loi ça là. En ligne de santé, le gouvernement a introduit une loi qui a réglé le ménagement de l'hôpital neuf là, parce que si nous pas changer la manière nous avons ménagé sur l'hôpital public, nous, ça nous a dit que c'est un beau édifice seulement, pas qualité de service santé à ce plan mérité. Monsieur le Président, Monsieur le Speaker, l'année chaque travail qui n'est pas fait. Le gouvernement pas à faire par quoi. C'est nous tous qui nous pouvons venir ensemble. Pour voir ce qu'il faut. C'est pour nous venir ensemble, en caille nous, en l'école nous, en caille la paresse nous, en bureau nous, et puis office nous, en bas paiement go, bord de la mer, en jardin nous, enfin tout partout. Pourquoi ces décisions qui ont l'intérêt pays. Nous ça travaille ensemble si nous mettons l'idée nous à tout. Parce que la panier a rien qui passe à tête si l'idée nous tout d'accord. The temper of the times requires us to come together. We must come together. In our homes, in our schools, in our community halls, in our boardrooms and offices, under the mango tree or the street lamp, in the fields where we sow and the fields where we reap. We must come together to summon the will and the courage to make decisions in the best interest of the country. It is time to restore that middle ground where we can meet each other and organize our affairs, engage as government to civil society, business to business, person to person. We need to engage each other in proactive and responsible ways. Let us not shout across the fence of divided opinion, but let us sit in the circle of mutual respect and the kind of willing compromise that shapes the best solution for the greatest number. There are difficult issues to be tackled in almost every sector. Chronic problems of resource scarcity and resource wastage, inefficiencies which hamper productivity, outdated policies, unproductive practices, weak management, and poor work ethics, the violence of ignorance, insularity, and poverty. These are our enemies. These are the forces that must be eliminated from our minds, our attitudes, our daily existence. And together, we can do this if we are willing, for all things are ready if our minds be so. And so, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, it is my pleasure to now formally declare open this second session of the 10th Parliament of St. Lucia. Thank you.